for just to read about him. We can't just get a knowledge of Scripture. That's all well and good. But a doctrine without Jesus is empty. I must know him. Amen? Not just about him. I must know him. And that's the challenge, I believe, more than ever before, is to get into a place of knowing him. And I believe also that as these hours we're doing at night, these times of prayer that we're doing at night, is building that. It's building that. Prayer builds relationship. Can I have an amen? Prayer builds relationship. Until one day, eventually, that we become that living epistle being able to be read by all men. That they see him in you. The Christ in you. A hope of glory to them. Amen. That we know that we are in the world. We are in the world. We're not of the world. But we are sent to the world. So often we can get an idea that we're saints, we're saved, it's wonderful, and we become this little separated group. You are never meant to be separated internally. You are to be sent out. You are to share the good news. You are to be the salt. You are to be the light to the earth. Amen? There is an answer locked up inside of you to the lost. Who believes that? Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3. And I'll read it. Let's pray first, shall we? Father, we just thank you for your presence in this place this morning. Father, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you that your presence is here. Father, let us never ever take you for granted. Let us not just come to have a meeting. We want to encounter you. I thank you, Lord, that your anointing and your presence is here to break every yoke. You've come to set your people free. You've come to bring us into that deeper place. You've come to call us up higher. I thank you, Father, that, Lord, you give us revelation through your Spirit that we might see what you're trying to say and hear and bring forth fruit of righteousness for the glory of your kingdom, that you alone will be exalted, that you alone will be glorified. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Philippians chapter 3, verse 2 to 16. I've been reading this all week. Says this, beware of the dogs, beware of dogs. Beware of the evil workers, beware of the mutilation. What he's talking about there is physical circumcision. The Jews were saying, unless you're physically circumcised, you're not saved. They want you to revert back to Judaism and then become a Christian. It is not the way. Beware of the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Jesus Christ and have no confidence in your flesh. Have no confidence in the flesh. I should have highlighted that. Don't ever have confidence in your flesh. Your flesh will change. Your flesh will change its mind to whatever the whim it desires to have. Amen? Have no confidence in your flesh or the works of your flesh or your own self-righteousness. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else may think he has confidence in the flesh, I'm more so. I like how Paul speaks. You think I'm better. You think you're good in the flesh? I'm better than you. I'm also circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what these things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge, surpassing worth of knowledge, of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. I've suffered the loss of all things. All that's things he was saying up there. I've suffered the loss of all things, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God, by faith. You can't earn it. You can't make it happen. You can't be better than anyone else by doing good. You are right, made righteous in God through Christ. Everything is His. Amen? Which is by faith, that I may what? Now you've got to understand when he says this next phrase. He has written 2/3 of the New Testament. He saw Jesus, one born out of due time. He had a Damascus Road experience. He heard things others didn't hear. He saw things others didn't see. He suffered shipwreck twice. He got whipped 5 times. You count them up, that's 195 lashes he received. 5 times 40 minus 5 because it was 39 lashes. 195 times. Imprisoned, beaten to death. Singing hymns in a prison. In a dark place. The Lord had to visit him in prison and says, "Don't worry, Paul, you have to go to Rome. I know you have fears within and fears without, but you'll be going free." So he had fears within and fears without. He realized his life was not his own. And after all this, he comes to the conclusion that I may know him. What he was saying is, I don't know him all yet. I don't know him. You never get to a place where you get comfortable, you think you know God. There are so many spheres of God that we've never experienced. So many facets of Him. So many glories of Him. He is God Almighty by Himself. He's not a man that you think you can know Him. He is God. Paul had a revelation that I may know Him. I need to know Him more. He didn't say I need to know the power of Him. He didn't say I need to know the miracles of Him. He didn't say, I need to know the knowledge of Him. He had a hunger in his belly that he needed to know this man, Christ Jesus. He wanted to know Him. He yearned to know Him. He got revelation about Him, but he still didn't believe he knew Him enough. There has to come a hunger in my belly to know Him. You can't go to the next line in that scripture without first facing the fact you've got to know Him. Once you know Him, begin to know Him. I believe it's a lifetime process. You never get to fully know Him. But once you hunger for Him enough and you start to hunger and get to know Him, then you start to understand the power of His resurrection. Hallelujah. Which then enables me to deal with the fellowshipers of His suffering. And most Christians that fall away is because they can't handle the fellowship of sufferings. The fellowship of sufferings is not necessarily just you hanging on a cross. The fellowship of your sufferings can be you enduring with patience, you enduring with long suffering. You're enduring with forgiveness. You showing love to the loveless. You showing mercy to the unmerciful. You learning not to speak when you have all the right to speak. Amen. That last fruit that we don't usually talk about, long suffering. And everyone's giggling, laughing. It's the truth. Oh, we'll talk about the love, joy, and the peace. But that one word, long suffering. To be a true Christian, to really follow Him, to understand His love for me that keeps me anchored in that place because I know Him, helps me to endure, to overcome, to have the peace and the patience I need in the times of long suffering. Anyone ever had to go through long suffering? Anyone ever had the moanies in long suffering? We're all the same. And if you didn't put your hand up, you'll get one. Trust me. there'll be a trying of your faith. Hallelujah. The fellowship of his sufferings be conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. You can experience resurrection life not after you get die and go to heaven. Your born-again experience now, today, you and I should be living in resurrection life. Can I have an amen? Resurrection life happens the minute I get born again, because the same Spirit that rose him from the dead now dwells where? In me. There is resurrection life deposited within you to enable you and I to have the mindset of Christ, to enable me to have the power and the capacity to get to know him, surrender to him, love on him, be obedient to him. Then he gives me revelation of what he's done upon the cross for me. Amen. Hear me. You've got to get an understanding of his resurrection, because the cross dealt with my sin. But without a resurrection, my faith is in vain. All I am is a witness of a dead thing. If he is not resurrected, your faith, my faith, is an absolute vain. I need to know the power of the resurrection. I need to know that he just doesn't die for me, but he forever lives with me and for me. Amen. That same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells within me to enable me to have relationship with the Son, to have relationship with the Father, and to rely upon the Holy Ghost. Amen. I have nothing of value compared to the salvation shown that and what he has given me. That's what Paul was saying. Nothing. I count it as nothing. The old King James says, I count it as dung. I like that word. Better than rubbish. I count it as dung. Something that is so negative to me, not wanting me to be around, not wanting to touch. I count it as rubbish. He was saying, I don't care what my heritage was. I don't care what my status is. I don't care what I've got. I count it as nothing that I may gain him. And we have to all get to that place, no matter what I've got, no matter what I own, no matter what's of value to me, everything has to come secondary to Jesus Christ. I can't afford to pursue things more than pursuing him. I can't afford to desire things more than him. That is a battle all by itself. Because society and the world impose that upon you. What the world says is this: if you've got stuff, you're successful. Yet I've met successful men that have got stuff, yet they're not successful. They might have success monetary. They might have success with a house. Yet they can be miserable, deplorable, lost, hopeless, in despair. No joy, no peace. Family a mess. Money can't buy that. Money can't give you that. Money can't do that for you. When you're dead, your money stays. When you're gone, your money's still here. But if I build a treasure in heaven, if I build a relationship with him, if I might know him, if I'm one of them virgins that's burning my oil, and my lamp is full of the Holy Ghost and full of his life. So when the bridegroom cometh, I will get up and hear the call, and I'll be able to trim my wick, trim my lamp, and I will burn brightly for the coming of the Lord. Amen. Because there's going to be some of us that will come. Our wicks once burned, because it says they trimmed their wick. In other words, it was once a light, but the lamp ran out of oil. They trimmed it. They cut it. They took that burnt piece off. They got ready to ignite it afresh. But there was no deposit, nothing within them again for it to draw from, so the oil can burn in the darkness. Amen. We've got to make sure our oil's full. And if we lack the oil, Jesus said to them, go and buy for yourself. Come to me. Have some relationship with me. Drink of me. Fellowship with me. And I will pour into the empty vessel what is needed and required. Amen. It's all about relationship. It's all about knowing him. You can't go to a conference for that. You can't read a book about that. You can read a book about it, but it won't give it to you. What you've got and I've got to do is humble myself enough and let go of the former thing, let go of what I treasure on earth, and say, Jesus, it's all you. That's why we've been talking these weeks, and this is not because of that. We have to be all in. I've got to be all in. Everything. I mean everything. If he asks you to give $1,000, you give $1,000. Even when you don't think you can afford to give $1,000. If he says it, you've got to do it. If he says to give you $20,000, you give $20,000. If he says to give you a house, you give your house. You do whatever he says to do. And you have to do it. That's what he means by being all in. And I'm not saying he's going to ask you to give your house. I'm not going to say, whatever's value, whatever you've got, he might ask, am I free enough to give? This is what he means, that I may know him. Did Jesus give his all? Did he hold back? Not at all. He gave a thief his purse. Do you know when you keep things to yourself, you're giving the thief your purse? That's what we're doing. When we hold back from God, I'm giving the thief the right to my purse because I've claimed it as mine. But I've been bought with I'm not my own. When you understand that you're truly born again and you seek him, what happens next is you will understand the power of the resurrection. Amen. Turn the next one for me, please, Josh. That I may know the power of his resurrection, which enables me to understand the fellowship of his sufferings, of the Lord's sufferings, without coming to that place, the place of desiring to know him, come to that place of understanding of what the power of the resurrection means to me, I will struggle to yield to the fellowship of the sufferings. Because I want to reserve, or I want to keep what I think is mine. I will hold back. Amen? Understanding that I have nothing of value compared to the salvation shown me and he's given me. Nothing is worth your salvation. Who believes that? My righteousness is like filthy rags to him. The minute I think I'm attaining something in the kingdom because of my efforts, it's filthy. I'm made righteous by the power of his cross and the resurrection alone. To know him and his power is one thing, but to know the power he has over me is another. He has all power and authority over my life because I belong to him. I am not my own. Paul's cry was to know him, not about him. Not stories of him, not just the awesome works of him, not the mighty miracles he performed. This cry was intimate. This cry was personal. This cry was before knowing anything else. More than knowing the power of the resurrection, it had done what it means and what it stands for. This cry was that I may know him. And you will only get to know him if you spend time with him. And you read his word. Can I hear an amen? Can I hear some breathing, please? It's saying, I know of you, but I need to know you more. I need to know the person of Jesus the Christ, my Savior, my God, my sovereign God. He isn't a God. He is sovereign. Lord, ruler over all things. including me. Amen. Understanding that I may know him teaches me the mindset to have and understand the power of the resurrection. His resurrection is the seal of the new covenant, which was written in blood. Do you believe that? Are we children of the new covenant? Written in his blood. But the seal of the covenant is his resurrection. If he isn't resurrected, he can write as much as he wanted. The resurrection seals the new covenant. If he never resurrected, he becomes a liar. If he never resurrected, it means the power of sin and death conquered him. He's alive, shown by many infallible truths. Many, over 500, bearing witness of his resurrection. And guess what? That cloud of witness should be growing and growing every day. You and I should be bearing witness of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in my life by bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Without his resurrection, my faith and preaching would be in vain, and I would be found a false witness to God. The resurrection is the proof of the Lord's mission. He fulfilled the mission of the Father by resurrecting again. The book of John says, "No man takes my life, I give it. And no one gives me my life, I do it." He dies and he resurrects himself. He has all power and all authority. He is the God of gods, the great I am. He who went down to hell, conquered sin and death. Conquered sin and death. Rose again that I might be buried with him, and rose again so I could become a new creature in Christ, where old things have passed away and all things have become new by the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now that I'm found in the power of his resurrection, I am now raised with Christ. Glory to God. You've been given a new name. That's what my Bible says. Sons and daughters of the Most High God. In the world, but not of the world. Born of a different spirit. Born again. Old man crucified with him, buried with him. He is dead. He is gone. It is finished. It is dealt with. Sin has no power over me. Sin only has the power that I give it. Words only have the power that I give it. You and I have been set free from the power of sin and death through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The same Spirit that rose him from the dead now dwells within you. That same Spirit is trying to bring resurrection life to every situation you and I are walking in, trying to reveal light to the lost, trying to be salt to the earth, forever wanting to witness about the glory and the goodness of Jesus Christ. That was Paul's cry, that I may know him. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, that I may then endure the fellowship and have the grace and the patience and the peace and the long suffering with people around me and things and situations that are happening around us every day of our lives, that things are happening in governmental orders that are changing all the time. And I'm telling you, it is not for your good. It is not for your good. I had to talk to a young man in a high up governmental situation yesterday. He was made a boss. High up. The person that left, the boss before him that left because there was this person in the group that changed from a man to a woman. And the person, the boss before him, didn't know, couldn't deal with that. When they tried to bring correction, they said, "Oh, you're against me, or you're anti me, or you don't appreciate me, you don't see me as the woman that I am now." And so the person before him could never correct him, never bring order to their life, or never bring you know, challenge him in their performance. This man took over the job. He said to the big boss, he says immediately, he says, I want to do a performance thing upon every person under my team. This, I'm going to call it it. This person says, I refuse to do a performance based because you will be prejudiced against me. He says, really? So he called his boss in. He said, that person thinks they're going to be prejudiced against you. He says, what have you said? He said, I haven't said anything yet. So this person's went on leave because they've suffered mental stress. Indefinite leave, fully paid for by you. By you and me. They'll be on indefinite leave until that boss either accepts, not accepts, he doesn't care about what they are. He just wants them to do the right job. And that is one, I'm not even going to use the word many. That is one of now thousands in your governmental institutions that your taxes are paying for every day. Where one minute they can wear a dress, the next minute they can wear pants. And they don't care what toilet they go to. The world is screwed up. And it's trying to infiltrate that same thing in the church. We have to be a people that know Him. There will be different gospels being preached around, but if it's not the gospel that He is Lord and all things are subject to Him and Him alone, and male and female, He created them, and together He created man and woman in a marriage. Unless we walk and do this right gospel, that I need to demonstrate the power of the resurrection to this world. I need to show forth the goodness of my God and the power of His goodness that He raised me from the dead. I am no longer an old creature that I once was. I do not even recognize myself when I was 20 years old. I look back now, 40 years later, and I look back and say, I wish I could talk to him. I wish I could go back and talk to that young man. I don't recognize him anymore. I can't believe the attitude I had, the stubbornness I had. I can't believe the pride that rose in my heart. I can't believe what I thought about people. Conditioned by the world. Conditioned by its voice. Conditioned by popularity. And God's saying, you're not of that world. You're in it. And I've got you exactly where I've got you to be a light and a salt. A light and a salt. If I'm going through something and I'm in long suffering, embrace it. It's an opportunity to be the salt. Amen. The newness of the resurrection life delivered me from the condemnation and the penalty of sin and the shackles of my past. Paul says later on, he says, one thing I do, forgetting the former things. You having fellowship and relationship with Jesus enables your mind to forget, washes you from condemnation, places you in His in a place of forgiveness and His mercy. And He forever washes you and reminds you that you are His. Amen. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who were. Who are where? In. They have to be in. You've got to be in Christ Jesus. There is therefore no condemnation. He doesn't judge you for that. It's gone. When you go, repent, it is finished. It is gone. What I mean by repent, I'm going to clarify that. Please listen, YouTube. I'm going to clarify that. It doesn't mean saying sorry. It means to turn away from and stop doing it. Repent. The newness of resurrection. I live a life that witnesses being born again, being seen by all men. 1 Corinthians 6:20. You've got all them scriptures. I can't go through them. Haven't got the time. 1 Corinthians 6:20. You're a living epistle being able to be read by all men. Your life should be an epistle before God. You should be the 67th book of the Bible. What are people reading about me? He writes upon the tablets of your heart. What is he writing about me? What are people reading of me? Are you with me? This mind of Christ I have, this Christ I now have is to please the Father. Everything Jesus did was had one emphasis and one goal, please the Father. Everything about me should be wanting to please my Father. Amen? My worship, my giving, my sacrifice, my service should be pleasing to the Father. My being a good granddad should be pleasing to the Father. My being a good husband should be pleasing to the Father. Everything I do should be pleasing to the Father. Even if they're not pleased with me. Hallelujah. To have the mind of Christ means to align with the character, the nature of Christ through our thoughts, deeds, and actions that we become pleasing to the Father. So let our cry be that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, that I can then celebrate the fellowship of the sufferings. In fact, Paul said this. I think it's in Colossians. He said this. He said, I build up in my body the sufferings that you lack to the church. He allowed himself to be buffeted even more because it was lacking in the house. You and I are going to go through days, certain days, a certain time where we might never be able to meet like this again. We might have to be an underground church one day. So is the move, the Antichrist move in the world today, where wokeism and all the other stuff that's happening is so infiltrated in society and in the top echelons of our community and our governments. They don't know what the truth is. They don't want to speak the truth. They don't want to stand for the truth because no one knows what the truth is anymore. It's gone so gray that your truth and your truth can be totally different truths. But to each person, it's a truth. It's a lie. There's only one truth. His name is Jesus Christ. There's only one gospel. It's called the gospel of truth. Hallelujah. He's a person. And I better get to know him. So when it all happens, because it'll be subtle. It's going to be very subtle. In fact, 1 Peter says that the enemy comes and the people come under the what? The sway of the wicked one. That, John, that word sway literally means to put to sleep. He rocks you to sleep. He sings you your lullaby. He tells you what you want to hear. Do you know the devil believes the gospel? He lived with him. He lived with him. He served him. He knows the word. He probably believes the gospel more than most Christians. He even believes. Even devils believe and tremble. Different belief. So there's going to come a sway. And in the last days, this sway will put many to sleep. Because they don't know the gospel. And they don't know the person of the gospel. And they don't know the love of the gospel. And they don't know the power of the resurrection. Therefore, they'll come under the sway of the wicked one. And he will cause many to slumber and many to sleep. And in that day, the book of Thessalonians says, many shall fall away. Yet at the same time, God is still telling his church to pour out. At the same time, God's still telling his church to reach out. God never tells his church to draw back. He keeps saying, reach out, touch, minister, pour out, be the salt, be the light, touch, heal, set free, lay hands on them. Keep doing what you need to be doing. Amen. So when gross darkness abound, there will still be light. Hallelujah. He will still have a Goshen in the midst of an Egypt. Glory to God. He will still have a people separated unto him. Amen. And that's why in the book of Joshua, we are not of that spirit. If you don't know your doctrine, you don't know your book, and you don't know the person of Jesus Christ, you will be easily swayed. I'm not saying these things lightly. I'm not saying them because I have to have a sermon. I can preach here till next year. I'm not short of preaching. But what I am concerned about, my spirit is really concerned about, that the enemy is coming like a mighty rushing wind. And he's going to bring a sway. And he's going to cause a sleepiness to happen. And all of a sudden, people won't go to church once a week. They might go once every 3 months, 2 months. That their commitment to the Lord wanes. And it's already happening. COVID, hear my heart in this. COVID has been used by the enemy to sway the people of God to stay away from church, especially the elderly. He got them in such a pattern of not attending and watching the tube. You know that tube where a lot of our kids can be addicted to the tube? The tube. In fact, that's another thing he's talking to us about, isn't it? The tube. It's all right, love. I'm not exposing you. Do you know, you know what happened the other day? I had my notifications on. And it came up on my weekly notification how much time I've been on my iPad per day. I was shocked. Don't you look at me all holy. I was shocked. Then I said, I put it down, I said, how much reading have I done compared to watching? And it wasn't even half. I was shocked. I'm just personal. I'm real. I'm just like you. We've got to watch it. We've got to put things in order. Amen. And I can make an excuse and say, well, I was watching this sermon and I was watching that sermon. Yeah. Well, I was. But there might only be 15 minutes. I might have watched 30 minutes about Hiluxes and new Land Cruisers and all under the title of watching a sermon. Praise the Lord. Help me, Jesus. I may know him, the powers of resurrection, that I can be empowered and comforted, assured to be able to embrace the fellowship of the sufferings. That's what it does for me. It solidifies me. It anchors me. That I just don't know about him, but I know him. Know him enough in the power of his resurrection and what he's paid for me and where he's put me and placed me in, that no matter what happens, I'm secure. No matter what happens, he's still there. No matter what happens, he's my foremost. Amen. Will I muck it up? Yes. Will I not do the right thing? Yes. But I will pick myself up and I'll start again. Amen. That's the power of his love. That's the grace of his spirit. And that's the mercy of my Father. And every day he'll keep me and he'll make his mercies new to me every day. That I can be sent forth to be a witness of his glory on this earth. I don't know about you, but in these days, I want my salt to sting. I want my salt to be worth something. I do not want my salt to lose its flavor and lose, the old King James will say, lose its saltiness. I do not want that. I want my salt to be effective in this hour, to change things, to enhance something. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. Kiss, kiss. A bit of fuel. Thank you, Lord. He's a good God. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. Amen. Not loving my life unto death. Glory to God. Who wants more? Who wants more of Him? I'm not talking about a system. I'm not talking about knowing about prophecies and all that. I'm talking about knowing Him. Like John, who leaned upon the bosom of Jesus, who heard the heartbeat of his Savior. Who wants to hear the heartbeat of his God? Hallelujah. Who wants to be that effective where it changes the atmosphere you're in? To be that salt and light. To embrace the fellowship of sufferings that people can see a change. A resurrected life within me and you. That's you this morning. You lift up your hands before Jesus. I'm talking about Jesus, your Savior, your God, your sovereign Lord. Hallelujah. Where you can walk into a place and leave a deposit of His peace. Where you can walk into a place and shut down the enemy's mouth. Hallelujah. Where you can walk and say, love, joy, peace. Oh yeah, and I still do the last one, long-suffering. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If that's you, I'm going to join me in a prayer that we recommit ourselves to Jesus. Fall in love with Jesus. Get to know Jesus. Spend time with Jesus. Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you, Lord. He just didn't conquer sin and death, but He came and set my captive free. He delivered me from the power of darkness and translated me into the